sheep of his pasture. But he said to the Jews in Jerusalem, ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. So in these individual areas of record, it does not make any difference what branch of the church you go into, you will discover this is true. In fact, one of the earliest saints in the Church of Rome, and this was one of the early St. John, wrote a great and long report, I think 385 is the year, writes the report concerning the Jews and their part in the history of the world. He said the Jews are of their father the devil, are a satanic group of unassimilatable peoples of utter and great evil. They are the murderers of Christ, but could not stay his power. They are the enemies of all Christians and his church. They seek to contemn its doctrines. A week ago, Look magazine had an article on anti-Semitism. The sorcery even has its rudiments in Christianity. And one of the first saints of the Church of Rome was this St. John, whose words marked an accusation and a revelation. And Look magazine said that this first saint of the Church of Rome, one of the first saints, said that the Jews were descendants of Lucifer and of their father the devil, and were the devil's children. And Look magazine said, isn't this terrible? Here's Christianity starting with anti-Semitism way back in the church. I think the church better remember that that even today, Rome would do better to listen to some of its own saints than it would some of its degenerated clergy. After all, I don't know how to go about desainting one of their own saints. No, there's something about the word saint that you should understand. The real word saint means breathing offspring, comes from Sanskrit. Breathing offspring. And saints are the breathing offspring of the Most High God. That's why it tells you the book of Daniel that in these climactic days God's going to stir up his people. And he said his saints of the Most High God are going to take the kingdom and they're going to possess it forever and ever and ever. And that means the believing offspring of God are going to retake the kingdom. This is what you're going to do. You're going to participate in retaking the kingdom. The great nations of God's kingdom are going to be liberated from within, and from the assault that comes against them, they will be protected on the outside. The Most High God will join you in this struggle. The history of the early church is one of continual persecution, as the powers of darkness sought to bring about that persecution. I hold in my hands The History of the Milanos by Cecil Roth, American Jewish Publication Society. In this book, they tell about how Jewry waged a war against the Christians and how they joined the early Church of Rome by confessing that they would accept Christ and go through all of the fundamentals of joining the Christian church to enter into that church to destroy it. And they tell here about how they were nothing but heretics on the outside, now heretics on the inside. And they boast about this. They boast about how they sought to destroy Christians, inflaming the populace. And so, in this instance, they talk about their natural ability and to handle the administration of finance in all of its forms, and how they also sought to destroy the economy of Christianity from within. Now, one of the most deadly periods of Christendom was when Christianity, of course, existing in early Britain from the days of the apostles, and there, of course, is where Mary lived out her days, and the tomb of Mary is in Glastonbury today. And here, my friends, was where the early disciples who went to the land where Joseph of Arimathea had his vast holdings, some of whom participated in that first great church in Abitre, which he had built. And, of course, the cities of Ephraim that Christ had gone to in the records of history were in the Isles, and he traveled on the ships of Joseph of Arimathea. The facts show that in that early period, that the Christendom of Rome in Britain existed from the days of Jesus, and Christendom in Rome from the very days of Christ's apostles. Now, during the years that followed, Jewry was unable to destroy Christianity. In fact, so rebellious had they become that Titus the Roman, 70 years after Christ, marched down and smashed that city. And my, how many strange things have been said about Titus the Roman. How many people talk about the persecution of the Jews at that time? The Jews, my friends, were violating the laws of Rome. They were not the children of Israel. They were not the children of Judah. They were cannibals that ate their own children, according to Josephus the historian, in the midst of that siege. And because of what they had done to Jesus, Titus the Roman marched in and smashed them. And of course, many of them existed over the world, and Pergamus was their main headquarters. You'll find that in the records concerning this, remember, Jesus had told them that there was going to come a great judgment on this generation. There wouldn't be one stone left on another in this city. He told them about the judgment that would come, and there would be some of them who were going to see this judgment too. Their repudiation and their call for his blood on them was brought to a judgment when Titus the Roman, tired of the blackmailing economic conspiracy against Rome, marched in while his father was on the throne and conquered Jerusalem. Many Jews escaped. Many of them were destroyed. The city was leveled. Now, I can show you a prophecy here in the scripture when God said, this is what I'm going to do to the inhabitants of Jerusalem because of who they are and because of their evil. But that didn't end their vast planning conspiracy. They had wormed their way now into the church. Unable to defeat it, they joined it. And I have here their record, as you may go back to the records of Rome, and what you hear about is the terrible Inquisition. It was fighting against heretics, that is, those that did not give assent to the authority of the church in Rome. By the inquisitor were then handled to be made to accept the faith, return to the faith, or accept it, or were put to death. Now, many people do not know that the Inquisition was designed by the Jews and not by the leaders and the bishops of the church. And the head of the Inquisition, who historically put to death more Protestants, or those that protested were called Protestants, those that were not of the Church of Rome, and who many of them came out of the background of early Christianity, British Christianity, Christianity across the nation, was a Jew by the name of Torquemada. And Torquemada, when he ran out of Protestant Christians, started to gather wealthy Catholic Christians and put them on the rack to torture them out of their gold. Not a bit interested with these Jews in their conversion. This was only a dress rehearsal. And actually, much of the hatred that was started between Rome and the other churches of Europe were the byproduct of this Jewish conspiracy that had moved in and created this in the name of making converts for the faith. So how do you know? Well, the Jews boast about these men. They're their heroes. And in this book, the Muranos, they tell us that the head inquisitor of this torture was Torquemada, a Muranos, a Jew. The word Muranos means swine. I like their selection of the proper word for themselves. The reason why they call themselves this is because Jews that turned Christians were called Muranos by the Spanish when the Spanish found out that these people only joined the church to destroy it and to wage war on Christianity. And they threw them out and exiled them and called them swine. And so they talk about the story of the Muranos. In this book is the story of where they waged war on Christianity in all ages. How they introduced the slave traffic. How they started to import and ship slaves into white nations, hoping that integration and mongrelization would someday develop and they'd be able to conquer the white race. And they know they're not white. They're in their own volume and in many others which I have in my library. Are the story of the beginnings of the problems we have tonight. For slavery, as it was brought into your Christian nations, was brought by them. Even back in the days when Stone wrote the propaganda volume, Uncle Tom's Cabin, you remember that Simon Legree was the slave trader. You go back into the history of slave trading, you'll discover that the first slaves that were brought into New Amsterdam Colony were brought long after Peter Stuyvesant was no longer in power and were brought in by jewelry. One thing about good old Peter Stuyvesant, he wouldn't let a Jew stay all night in New York City. You don't believe this, you go read what they say in their encyclopedias about Peter Stuyvesant. They said he's one of the most terrible men that ever lived. He's one of the smartest men that ever came from Europe to put foot on our shore. In fact, he, like Benjamin Franklin later, was to tell the people of New Amsterdam colony what it'd be like if these people ever set up their shops or got their foot in the door to seek to curse Christianity and to enslave the people. Benjamin Franklin did make the statement. I have seen this in the Pinckney papers, and I saw it before it was torn out by some wandering Jew in Philadelphia. For in those papers, written in his own hand, was his statement about Jews being Asiatics, about Jews being unassimilatable, and about Jews being deadly and never should be permitted to have citizenship in this land. And if they were permitted to come in, the day would come when they'd be gathering up the control of your economy, seated in the counting houses while your children labored in the fields as their slaves, and that your children and your great-grandchildren would curse you in your graves for ever letting these people settle in America. Benjamin Franklin wrote this. I saw it in his own handwriting. A few years after this, in Philadelphia, I would have liked to have had a photographic copy, though I know where there are photographic copies. You used to be able to get a photographic copy made of anything in the Benjamin Franklin Library, and the librarian there would make it for you for a dollar charge. I know a man, and I know several people, that had photostatic copies of this page out of Benjamin Franklin's writing space. When I went and visited this area, I looked at the book, and in this area of the book, that page has been ripped out, torn out. So you can't get a copy now, but the copy is real, it's a matter of record, and there were printed copies also, based of the Pinckney papers, and were published years ago and sold in this country. Now and then a copy can be found in which this printed fact still remains. I point out to you that in the history of our race, we are to discover that ever since the time of Christ, the persecutions of Christians were paid for by Jewish gold. Start after and start up. In the days, my friends, when Christianity was not yet defeated and had spread over Europe, and the design of Jewry was to destroy it, and 10 centuries had marched along since the birth of Christ. And so the Jews gathered together in Venice, and they plotted how they were going to kill Christians, wipe their power out, just reserve a few for slaves. And they decided that they needed manpower and an army, and that they wouldn't get sufficient support from any Christian country, either north or south. They couldn't even get a king who would do their bidding and wipe out Christians, since now it had taken hold all over Europe. So they sent their merchants with their little sacks of goods across their mules and across their backs out to Asia. And these wandering Jews went out to find their way, and with Chinese Jews who were carrying on areas of Asiatic trade under a mutual understanding. You know, there's something strange about Mystery Babylon the Great with all of its world business. It doesn't make any difference. You can go way back to the days of the pre-Genghis Khan period, and you'll discover that the Jews in Europe and the Jews in China had a liaison. That's why Shui Pei Noyan, the Chinese Jew, was accepted and sent out from Venice to find some Mongol on the steppes who would be able to gather and build added hosts while they financed and backed him and provided him with weapons. That's when they found the Munjin, the very defiant and one day world conqueror who, with his crippled leg, to conquer his inferiority complex from his crippled condition, tried to be more ferocious than all the rest. Temujin, they called him, the crippled one. But you know him as Genghis Khan. And Shui Pei Noyan went out from Venetian Jewry and promised this one, if you will join and take my directions and join with my plans, I'll make you rich and powerful. If you will do my bidding, we'll supply you with superior weapons, the fine steel of Damascus, the best crossbows that can be made in China. And then you will conquer more tribes and give them a chance of joining you until we have made an army of Mobile Mongols bigger than the world has ever seen. Temujin went along with this, and Shui Pei Noyan, the Chinese Jew, planned it. And when finally almost all of the major tribes of the steppes had been conquered and ruled over by Genghis Khan, while back in Venice the Jews pulled the strings. And from Pergamus, where their treasuries were, they were financing employees. Remember what Jesus said about Pergamus? He said to the churches that were in this area of the Caspian Sea, he says, I know your problems, and I know your troubles. He says, one that dwells in Pergamus is where Satan's seat is. Why Satan's seat? Because this is where Jewish financial economic headquarters there and in Venice were reigning. If you go back into the pattern of history, you may read the March of the Barbarians by Harold Lamb, Genghis Khan, Tamerlane, and go look at the bibliography. Surely almost pure history, the March of the Barbarians tells you a full bibliography of events. How these hordes conquered China. How the Jews added to their numbers, set up their little shops around all the doors and gates to China. Around the Great Wall of China, their little shops were set up. They ran all day as caravans came in and out selling their wares. Then at night, the gates would be closed, the great bars dropped in the gates, and the cities would go to sleep. For all China had built this wall to protect themselves against the barbarian Mongols that roamed the steppes, getting more ferocious all the time because Jewry had made this possible. This, my friends, was the beast rising up, seeking to conquer all Christendom after he'd gathered enough of Asia to make it possible. Then one night in the year of the pig in October, the gates of the city, while everybody slept, was open. The runners had already conveyed their message. Genghis Khan's hordes were moving on all the main gates around China. And that night the Jewish merchants went down and they took the bars and they lifted them, opened the gates, and let the armies of Genghis Khan pour through the gates on the sleeping cities of China. By morning they were well on the road towards Beijing. In fact, you go back and read the record and how the cities fell, how the lapid warriors with their lapid shields could not meet the strong weapons and the mighty forces of the voracious Mongol. And it was only a matter of a few months and all of China had fallen on the inside of the wall with all of its power at the Genghis Khan. Remember that he eventually raises the throne his grandson Kublai Khan. But prior to this, Genghis Khan's first moderator of the throne answers directly to him, and Kublai Khan becomes the eventual ruler. Shoghi Khan takes over for a time and later becomes the master in the Russias. And after the fall of China, then falls Samarkand, where the hordes of Soviet Russia dominating that city have built up an area of their defense industry. And just a week ago or two, God flexed his muscles with an earthquake, raised a mountain up to dam up the river, flooded out 4.5 smaller cities, wiped out the areas of the loading of their great intercontinental missiles. And they had to spend millions of tons of TNT to bomb a gap in this natural dam that God had raised to let the water roar out at the 150-foot level before ancient Samarkand would be wiped out. Did you know Samarkand's ancient people? Long going through many nomadic changes, but Samarkand was a great city. But the Jews went in with their wares there, opened the gates of Samarkand for Genghis Khan. They opened the gates of Baghdad. They did their job well and shared in the spoil. And the hordes of Genghis Khan were known as the Earth Shaker, impossible to defeat. Lord of the whole earth, he was known. And so they started through the passes of Europe, through the Caucasus, and down in the north, into the northern passages, that is, to northern Europe, as well as in southern Europe. And wherever the hordes came, they waged war on Christianity. You know that throughout that period of that battle, inside the cities of Eastern Europe and in the countries, the Slavic countries, the Jewish merchants were continually opening the gates and letting them in. They were going down to the city and marking the houses where wealth was to be found. You know that they continued this even up until the day when God intervened and the beast received his wound nigh unto death. that in the days of Genghis Khan was actually storming at the doors of Vienna. And you may remember at that time that knighthood had been called up from all over. Rome's knighthood was being thrown in. The knighthood from Germany was thrown in to try to turn the hordes, and the peoples of Vienna were fighting the hordes of Genghis Khan. Then he had a heart attack in an act of God. They carried him back towards Lhasa, headquarters of the Khan, to select a new leader if death were to take him. Before he returned to Lhasa, he died. They carried his body back. The superstition of the beast was, for this instance, effective. The beast had received his wound nigh unto death. And they had carried now Genghis Khan back. They had no one yet to take his place. For some years there were battles. Shaghi Khan took the Russians. The great rise of the Janissary forces of the south, which had been joined with the Sultanate battles. And the sultans of Turkey, now fused with Turco-Mongols, started to stretch out Turkey's power. And then the hordes from the steppes joined now new leaders. And did you know up to the days of Martin Luther that we were still fighting the barbarians that came from the Mongol steppes, and the Jews were still helping the barbarians against Christians? You should read the works of Martin Luther. Martin Luther, who while he had studied in Rome, had thought that the Jews were a part of the family of God. Thought that they were chosen people because of the twist of interpretation. But in his standing up for his positions of faith, he had left, though he was a bishop in the church, to take a stand for areas of freedom on the concept that the just shall live by faith. And remember that he established what is known as the German church, and had made his thesis, nailing it, of course, to the wall of the great cathedral in Worms. And remember that he had taken his stand. In fact, great animosity existed before long between Rome and Martin Luther, because they wanted him to stand church trial, which he did, but he refused to submit to their authority and established in Germany the churches that were later to bear his name. Behind the stirring up of this animosity, again we discover the names of seven very important Jews who wanted to make sure that a war would be fought between Rome and Germany, if necessary, or an attempt to crush this area of the church. Why did they hate Martin Luther so? 20 years Martin Luther experienced in his ministry inside of Germany, the expansion of his church. Under this period of time, hordes again coming from the areas of Suleiman's empire and its remnants, and coming out of the Turco-Mongol south, were storming into Europe. They were attacking its cities until the knighthood of Germany, the knighthood of Scandinavia, the knighthood of Britain were fighting continual warfare to hold the hordes back from taking the cities of Christendom. All the time, the Jews met in Venice and helped to become the liaison betrayers. They opened the cities of Germany, the cities of Austria, the cities of Danube, along the Danube. And when the armies marched in of the hordes, they slaughtered Christians. They confiscated their wealth. Well, they went down the road and saw the markings on the doors of the places where greatest wealth would be found. But a Jew's house had a yellow mark upon the door. A Jew wore a yellow armband. You know what Martin Luther said? He said, these Jews have worn the yellow armband and have marked their houses. He said, they have betrayed us to the enemies of Christ and the hordes of Antichrist. They dwell in our midst, sometimes try to join our churches and try to tell us that they are our brethren while they betray us and sell us. They hate Christians. Their program is to kill us. Then Martin Luther said, I do not want Jews admitted to the church anywhere in Germany. I forbid this. He said that all of the church should join together with the princes. They should round up the Jews, and they should confiscate their ill-gotten and stolen wealth that they have gotten through these rackets and their joining with the enemy. They should permit them only passage to leave their countries and embark. Then he said the synagogue should be burned down and the houses of Jews should be destroyed unless we give them a place to fester and grow, unless we let their evil doctrines prevail our land. Martin Luther, quote and unquote. No wonder with magazines said that we've got to realize that the basis of this opposition to the Jews has to start in Christianity, and Christians should be ashamed of this and should make amends for it. What do you think persuaded Martin Luther to change his mind after 20 years? It was experience. So Martin Luther said, well, from the killing of Christ to the killing of the New Testament saints, to the mass murder and design conquest of Christians, he said, this is the Jewish goal, their ideal, their dream. Therefore, Christians, you must excoriate their leadership. You must deny them entrance into your country. You must not permit them to feed upon you. These parasites must go. 1932, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 in Germany, it was being said again. Because they had rediscovered again whence came their betrayal, whence came communism, whence came the brothels and the vice and the crime and the corruption. And there arose men courageous enough to point out that the wars that beset Christianity were started by Jews as they hurled Christian against Christian. That the design to make money while they did it at the expense of Christian blood was the main strategy of Jewry. We look at the tremendous bloodshed that existed for the periods of 300 years of barbarian war over the Venice Jews' design. Then they joined themselves into additional cults. They sought to storm the great traditional historic centers of Christendom. They sought to do this by introducing themselves to all the areas of Christian society by pretending conversion. In Britain, Jews were not allowed, so they decided that they would have to find a way to get around this. They came in with their names changed, with professions of faith. The strong power of Christian tradition, even strong in the masonry of early Britain and in the beef eaters and in the great light carriers of the ancient Blue Lodge. These, from the days of the Round Table, had barred the operation of Jewry inside with their money-changing conspiracy. Their knowledge had been known. So they came in, and they not only sought from Venice and from other areas in Europe to enter into the society of all Christians, but especially did they try to engage in the penetration of Britain. It took them 140 years from design. They created the Illuminati, a substitute of the great spiritual orders of Christ's kingdom, twisted and perverted to destroy that kingdom. Now, do not let them take away the great history of the symbols of your race. Do not be led by your discovery that the Illuminati was a satanic conspiracy to gain control and reduce Christian nations to slavery, blot out Christianity, and establish the rule of their power. Yes, they sought to penetrate masonry with it, and they did. Demoray, Pike were members of their conspiracy. But they still were unable to totally destroy the areas of truth, but they joined the church by the same process. We today, if we could eliminate all the Jews that are in the pulpits of Christian churches, we'd make a great contribution to the salvation of Christian churches in America. If we'd eliminate ourselves from the guidance of seminaries like Union Theological Seminary and others that have Jews on their staff, or permit the Anti-Defamation League to provide their material. I want to point out to you that we do not have to go into all the background of the Red Revolution tonight because of the time. I'm going to make this true statement, and I can prove it by the archives of the United States government, by your own Secret Service, by men like Captain Shiloh and others, that the revolution in Russia was organized by Jews, financed by Jews, not only Kuhn Loeb Company and the Warburgs and others, but Bronx Jews made up the assassin group that captured the Tsar and posed as musicians traveling over there as travelers when they captured him and took out of their violin cases their guns instead of their instruments. I'm going to tell you tonight that on the evidence of 1,000 volumes in my library on this one subject alone, that communism is not only Jewish, but the records will prove it. I will prove to you that there have been more Christians put to death under the communist revolution since the day it took over that any scourge in time put to death any people because of their love of Christ. Communism is the great militant anti-Christian program. Do not be taken in by brainwashed groups who may have had a mental lobotomy and hypnotic influence like the president, who want to make a coexistence policy with Russia in friendship with the Antichrist. I have not forgotten what my Father's purpose is, who said, I intend, and this is my purpose in the earth, to smash this power of darkness, crush these kingdoms, break this down. Not peace, my friend, victory is what we want. When we have crushed the Soviet Union and smashed its power and liberated the peoples behind the Iron Curtain, we will have fulfilled a great responsibility as a nation of God's kingdom. But coexistence, my friends, brings the judgments of God upon those that thus sell us out. You're not buying peace, you're buying treachery. The powers that advise the leaders of your government in the same channels of area and areas that produce the era of conquest in your nation are the powers that took over in Russia. The great majority of the advisors around our presidents in the fateful years that we've lost in China, and we've lost in Laos, and we're losing in Vietnam, and we've lost to Cuba, and we're losing all over, is because Jewry advises our president. The majority of advisors, the last few administrations have been Jews, the majority of them, under Kennedy, under Johnson. When you replace one with another, well, you're not saving America any, and if you replace him with a nigger, you haven't saved him anyhow, because the Jews run the niggers. Don't think you use the word Negro. No, my friends, when they emasculate boys, when they rape our women, they're just niggers, and they won't earn the title of Negro until they become, again, responsible to law. More boys emasculated this week, another one in Torrance. I spoke last Tuesday night in Riverside. One of the family there's neighbors were the victims of this thing. Santa Monica newspaper on Friday, a man bludgeoned almost to death, his wife raped on the beach. Irresponsible mob threatening bloodshed. Irresponsible clergy like the National Council going to set up a mass meeting to raise money to subsidize the operation in the South in Mississippi, which is not only incitatious of riot and violence, but promise a bloodbath in Mississippi to make the world come to its senses. Tears of Christians, yes. The hordes of world communism liquidated Christians by the thousands, by the millions. The kindly Uncle Joe, as silly old Truman said, was one of the most wicked evil murderers of them all. And Mr. Khrushchev, the smiling, friendly dictator whose cunning pig-like eyes can turn red with violence, who promised to bury you, is himself responsible for the guilt of the death of thousands of Christians. Probe passed once as a theological student, and in the areas where he even studied, he liquidated his own teachers and his own friends. Khrushchev, half Jew, married to a Jewess, Kabanovich, and out of the line of this has been under Jewish control and made his arrangements with Jews, though in the battle for power, the Jew Beria was eliminated only because this was a battle among wolves. This cunning Khrushchev, who plans your conquest and threatens you, but moves with cunning and with his slowness to get you to accept the peace of the Antichrist. And in the day when they say peace like this, then comes sudden destruction. Never accept the peace of the Antichrist, the blueprint of God's kingdom. Ask you to ask for no quarter, but by faith to look for victory and give no quarter to the devil. So today we want to avoid bloodshed. We want to save the kingdom and establish it in the earth. It will not be coming, my friends, by stepping into the trap. It comes with victory. I can establish for you from one end of the Old Testament through to the end of the New Testament is that the eternal God, our God, is a mighty warrior who comes in to do battle and to complete with victory. And he challenges us to do battle against the powers of darkness And we are the saviors of the earth, sent in to overthrow Lucifer and his household, to conquer the evil, to lift up the standard of God's household, to select people, a chosen people, a begotten people that can say, Our Father, which art in heaven. The Red Revolution continues its path. One of our radio television commentators the other night said, I have documentary evidence that a mass conspiracy of world communism to eliminate all the conservative leaders in America is now on. The orders have gone out to the communists here in the United States to kill them, to liquidate them, to get rid of them. And the orders have gone out to the administration in Washington that they are to put down, crush, and block all influence and the permission of any influence of the conservatives in this coming year of election. That Moscow has passed the word on through its stooges and to our State Department, to our government, that would acquiesce, that would have nothing but friendliness with communism, and call for them to help suppress all leaders that are in the conservative or anti-communist bloc. Well, this is Mr. Putnam's broadcast, but anyhow, he says, I have the evidence here. I know our leaders know about it, and I don't see any great plan to protect anybody either. We're going to get a full transcript of that broadcast. We're going to go to the very bottom of the evidence involved in this, because the enemies of Christianity are still planning your death. Oh, they would like to keep craftsmen as their slaves. They would like to keep a limited number to do their bidding. But they hate tonight the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hate the individual that proclaims Christ's kingdom. Now, they don't care how many preachers gather Christians together in the side of the church and shut the door, tell them to get ready to die. They don't care how much you preach your doctrine if you don't practice it, and you'll keep it out of the schools and out of the nation and let them take over. But if you advocate thus saith the Lord and point out the blueprint of God for the salvation of this nation, then they call for your blood. The first thing they try to say is you're anti-Semitic. Whereas every white man is a Semite, every white man today is descended from Shem, and we couldn't be anti-Semitic without being against ourselves. But if they want the term spelled out so you can understand it, if they mean anti-Jew, then I am anti-Jew now, on until the day till Jesus comes. Now don't blush. Because I can pick that color up from way up here. You get expert at that after a while. Because if you are for the enemies of Christ, you're in the wrong camp. And if you're against the enemies of Christ, you have this right to be against them, because this is an American privilege to think and to feel and to proclaim and to declare. They would suggest that we shouldn't march out and liquidate them. We should deport every one of them on the basis of dual allegiance and mass conspiracy. In fact, my friends, if we had courts at work anymore, we would deport masses of them. We have every evidence of their complicity in a conspiracy to destroy us. We have the testimony of one of the highest rabbis in America. He's dead now, for which we're grateful. This was Rabbi Stephen S. Wise, who said, some call it communism, I call it Judaism. They don't like that word, but that's true. I point out to you tonight, it tells me in my Bible that the people who were the false prophets of evil, the sons of Satan, that gave power unto the beast system, the first beast that raised its head, whose wound was nigh unto death, now give power back unto the beast, and the beast comes back to life again for its final assault against Christianity. That's what the Bible says. Now, therefore, Jewry raised up Genghis Khan, and Jewry has raised up communism in these last days. Jewry, behind the scenes, directs what takes over Asia and what stirs up Africa. And this is the third of the Antichrist, in the day when it judgments will take it into perdition. Thus, since the days of Jesus, Satan's children have been the killers of Christians. And their great dream is to do it again. They would like to see a massive inquisition. They would like to see a great liquidation. They would like to see communism loosed in America to destroy those that bear testimony to truth. The scripture has been filled with it. If we were to have taken time to read all the passages of scripture we could use on this, we never would have got any of the story told. If we talked about this for the next month, and we talked all day long, and we talked every evening, we wouldn't exhaust the subject of the identity, biblically, scripturally, historically, of these people and the events from the time of Christ to this hour and the design to take us over. It's a Machiavellian plot so big that some people can't understand it. It's the big plot that's the easiest to get away with. Because of this, a big God has a big plan for salvation and deliverance. We tell you tonight that we do not think that Christians should minimize the great danger against our civilization. The race wars we face this summer, which they have promised to give us, are Jewish-inspired as the Negro demagogue follows his Jewish master and the Jews stir this up. I point out to you, they think they're going to take us over. They think their world government, which they dominate and control, is going to rule the world. But to imprison all that say thus saith the Lord and preach the message of prophecy. I think sometimes they even get our great commentators frightened. When a man proclaimed the truth and his minister preached the word of God, the enemy moved against him, conspiring, framing, and this man and his family disappear, and they put out a wanted notice for him. I was in the post office the other day, and I saw a wanted notice for a Christian minister. But they got enough pressure, they can make Fulton Lewis Jr. squirm. And he comes out and talks about this man, Harold. And he said, you know, this man's a self-styled prophet whose religious leaders think he's the greatest since Christ. But he harbored a deserter, and he defied the law, and he built up an armed camp, and his church was a fortress. And then he was under bond, and he disappeared, and the FBI believe he's run away, and he says, this man, he says, is at large. They believe he is, his family. They think he's being secreted by some of his supporters and followers. And I would have expected from a conservative a blast at the day when a church could have war made on it by government. I remember a double cross one day when we were fighting the confirmation of Anna Rosenberg. We haven't forgotten that yet, and where it came from. And I want you to remember that America's great catastrophes have emerged out of permitting Lucifer's household to have influence in their government, gain control of their treasuries, handle their money. Every trouble you have comes from violations of divine law. We can't finish this subject tonight. It's too big to finish. We are...